This is Wade Brathke. You're listening to Wade's World. It's Friday morning, 9 to 9:30 Central Standard Time in the United States, and your time for the voice of the people. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, where KABF 88.3 FM is located, or the east side of New Orleans, Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points east and west where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at www.kabf.org. A podcast will be available this show on Monday at that website. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world, and today we're talking to Mark Fleischman, president of the Action Network. Welcome to Wade's World, Mark.
Hey, World. Hey, Wade. Great to be here.
Hey, World. That's exactly right. Look, we know each other from many years in the labor movement, but this Action Network is becoming big, and it's part of what turns out to be one of the major hidden stories behind the fabulously fantastic, successful Women's March. How is that?
Well, as Wade said, we met as labor organizers, and organizing is real simple. It's about engaging people. And in today's world, technology allows you to do what we could only have imagined years ago. And the Women's March, as those of us who participated and those who watched, was the largest demonstration we've seen in our lives. And that was brought to you by terrific organizers, and we helped with the technology. So if you went to an event, and you went to the Women's March in D.C., or you went to any of the sister marches, and you clicked on, or you put in your zip code, and you got a map that popped up, and you got emails that followed up, or you joined, all of those come to you via the Action Network.
We provide that technology.
That
was you guys.
Yes, it was.
Because clearly in the beginning, and in 90% of the stories you read, it's all, you know, it's like the Egyptian Revolution. It's a Facebook phenomena. Somehow couple of people here in Hawaii and a couple people over here, and they start talking to each other on Facebook, and boom, a million people come in. But what moved it from that first simple Facebook? How did they find you, or how did you find them, or how did this come together?
So people do. I mean, I think the story goes that there was a woman in Hawaii that did a tweet or a Facebook post, and some other folks picked up on that, and all of a sudden it started a thread, and that thread grew into some folks that convened themselves as the Women's March. But they needed a platform. They needed a way to spread that out.
That's not Facebook.
That is not Facebook. That's distributed organizing. That's the ability to be able to create an event and be able to then spread that out, create those sister marches, and tie that all together so that that information can all be brought to you together. So when I was here in New Orleans, and I biked by and I met those organizers who were putting that together in the park right here, and no one was there, and they said, well, maybe 2,000 people will come out. Well, we all know
the sister march here,
and we all know how many people turned out. And that's distributed organizing, and that's the ability to take a technology like ours and also weave it with other technologies. We view ourselves not as the end-all be-all, but as technology that can combine in a seamless fashion with what we call APIs, or the ability to kind of make connections and not trap people into silos, but be able to make sure that no matter what technology that you're using, that the Action Network can tie it all together.
When we talk about a platform, what are we really talking about? We're talking about email and a website, or what's involved in a platform, as you're calling it?
Yeah, so whatever kind of organization that you have, and I would encourage people, go to the Action Network. .org, very easy to see. You'll see a set of tools. Those tools are to send emails out, to have events, to be able to do petitions, to be able to do letter writing campaigns to your legislators locally, nationally, to be able to do any and all of those things.
If I have one of your tools, it'll allow, if you invite me to an event, can I RSVP on the tool? Will it take attendance? What does it do? What does a tool do?
Yeah, so it will do all of those things. So if you have an event, and Wade, you sign up for that event, you sign up for the Women's March, that tool on the event side will pop up a map. It will give you instructions for what the event kind of looks like. It will send you back an immediate RSVP. It will link to an email so that as the organizer of the event, you'll be able to see Or if you're organizing events and you don't know who's going to lead that event, you can put that out there. When we started this with a Black Friday protest against Walmart, we started with the concept that, you know, let's put out every zip code in the United States and see how many people want to adopt stores. And in the old school way of doing it, the only way that you could do that is if you had folks that were lined up in particular stores. And we took the concept of distributed organizing. Let's just put it all out there and see who comes. Well, lo and behold, people came who had never been involved before. They weren't labor activists. They weren't community activists. They may have been any of those things and more. They came into the space. They adopted a store. Some folks who we didn't even know led actions at those stores. And that was the first set of distributed events that that led us to where we are now with the Women's March, that led us to the technology being at Standing Rock. And, you know, it just has been a huge success.
Standing Rock, obviously, we're talking today, and this week all of a sudden there was our new president said, this whole pipeline thing, let's push as much oil up our nose as we can, and has tentatively tried to turn around both Keystone XL as well as the Dakota Access. How did they use your platform to put together the Standing Rock thing? Because that was amazing as well.
Yeah, so I would say this. There's terrific organizers at Standing Rock, and you know, and
very committed. God knows, camping in North Dakota in the winter is that's a fool's errand on anything but a major mission like this.
Yes, Wade and I have done a lot of organizing campaigns, but let me say that we did all those campaigns down south.
Well, I wish I could say all mine were in the south, but I definitely having people camp outside in the winter would have been, you know, a job-threatening, you know, career move for me.
So a bunch of talented organizers there, the Sioux Tribe, others that came in that were involved, they needed a way to reach out to folks, to reach out to people locally, to reach out to people regionally, nationally, and internationally. And they came on to the Action Network. They came just like anybody else right to the website. We provided that technology for free because we provide that technology to free to users that are starting out. And we do that because that's our mission. That's what we're all about. We're all about building power. And they started off with that. That grew tremendously. I think as people followed that, they see to this day they have now built a list of some 600,000 folks. And now we're proud to say that the Sioux Tribe and Standing Rock are paying partners of the Action Network. And that's how it works. You pay it forward. People that come on board and people that really do this, and that's who we are. We are, in essence, a nonprofit. Nobody gives us donations. We do this because we empower the movement, and we will continue doing that as we go forward. And we have grand plans.
Well, and we want to hear more about those plans. Now, one of the things that's always a question, and you already said that obviously Action Network is actionnetwork.org, but you're familiar with the controversy around change.org as well, which turned out to be just not at all nonprofit, and who ended up controlling the list and the database and all those questions is always one of the things that comes up. How do you all handle that within the Action Network?
Yeah, well, let me say, and I couldn't agree more. These groups that take your names and sell your data, get you on a list so they can put ads in front of you, you know, all of that is business, and it's business. And for progressives and people who care about this stuff, not to understand that is a shame because, in fact, we're being used. The Action Network is set up in a way that your data is your data. So when we will create an action, that all of that data goes to the participating organizations. Consider us like the ability to sort that information. We don't keep that information. We don't resell that information. We don't repackage that information. We don't give that information to retailers. We guard that jealously, but with an attempt to be building power, building those connections. On the Women's March, as an example, you know, millions of folks participated, but that data got shared with the people in New Orleans who did that. So all the people who participated there, the local organizers get that data, and that's how we operate. That's how we roll.
Okay, so that's interesting. So a sister march here in New Orleans that ended up with 10,000 people. I don't know how many people had signed up ahead of, because I think a lot of people just came, you know, with the spirit, so to speak. But those people that had signed up, 2,000 or 3,000 or however many, they would actually have those names to build on here in New Orleans, just as in Washington, they would have a 500,000 or whatever the number might have been there.
Yeah, we leave it to the organizations to figure out how they want to grow. We would say you want to grow the way that we think best is that you want to grow by empowering people. So if you've got chapters and locals and others, you want to empower them. Wade, as you know, organizing is about empowering committees, empowering people on the ground, and letting people grow in that way. We believe that that kind of organizing will lead to, you know, will truly lead to a revolution that is currently underway.
We're talking to Mark Fleischman, who's the president of the Action Network and a longtime union organizer and executive as well. Mark, when you use the term distributive organizing, that's not something that's familiar to people, but what do you really mean by, the word distributive is fascinating attached to organizing. So how do you see that as describing sort of the mission and robustness of this tool?
Yes, I think this, you know, if we're speeding down the highway, and those of us that do that and use Waze as a way of speeding down the highway, which is a user kind of generated app that gives us our speed, tells us where there's cops down the road, but it's users that are kind of entering into the system. And so maybe not the best example to use, but let me jump off with that and to say that we want to create user communities, communities where it isn't just a one-to-many, it isn't just a message from, you know, Progressive Central, but it is a way to allow people, you know, in the middle of nowhere, in Sitka, Alaska, that participated in the march using our technology, to Washington D.C. or L.A. or New York, and you have the ability to have a distribution or distributed way, but you give ever increasing powerful tools in the hands of a people on the ground, so that they can literally use their smartphones. And as we have progressed, and as we will continue to progress, we will produce and develop increasingly more powerful tools, so that folks on the ground can in fact have those tools, and they're not waiting around for the political leader. They're not waiting around for others. Although, obviously, if there's guidance, that's terrific. But we are interested in the distribution of power.
Gotcha. So this is sort of timely. Last week on my show, we talked to Becky Bond. I don't know if you know Becky.
I know Becky.
She was with Credo and Working
sure.
Assets.
Yep.
And, you know, I asked her, how do you want me to introduce yourself? Well, you know, I used to be a senior advisor for the Sanders campaign, but she and Zach Exley just wrote a book. You probably read it, you may not have read it. Okay, good. Which I actually thought was fascinating. It was Rules for Revolutionaries, Big Organizing, blah, blah, blah. Now, I asked her on the show, well, what kind of database were you using? And she argued pretty flatly. They went with Google Drive, Facebook, Slack, which I've never used, but they went back to basics because they thought people could handle that, were more familiar with some of those simple tools that they'd seen from Facebook and Google. But does that have merit, or does that sound right to get where we need to get or not?
Well, I think we should, you know, I mean, I have a dim view of Facebook. I have a dim view
it's hard
of...
hard not to.
I have a dim view
they
of...
they sell everything to everybody, you know.
Yes, they do. Yes, they have a dim view of Google, but we see ourselves as connecting to many, many tools out there as a way of creating, where people want to join in and wherever they want to join in. And if people are using a different system than ours, that's okay too. Many people that were participating in the march or will participate in other things might be using Blue State Digital or Salsa or MailChimp or whatever it may be.
Or Nation Builder, you hear a lot of that.
And Nation Builder that trumpeted their support of our new president, as part of their thing. But whatever people are using, our tools are such that you can embed our actions on any of those tools and any of those platforms. Not only don't we want to trap people, but in fact we want to create a new world approach that in fact frees all of this, because all of those players want to trap you into their systems. And by design, that is a bad proposition.
Yeah, I mean, I had our Acorn in the United Kingdom uses Nation Builder. It's the only one who uses it. And none of the rest of us can use it because you can't collect dues using that database. So for us, that's simple. That's a no-brainer. That's over. Because if we can't put our membership list in and then use it to draft our dues, that's our lifeblood. We don't have checkoff in a community organization.
Sure.
And they have had nothing but problems in how to put these pieces together. But what we keep trying to find is a way to sort of put one system together that works. And one of the things that's frustrating is you keep thinking that for our work as organizers, we need sort of an Uber or Tinder or some kind of app out there that anybody can say, okay, I have an issue in this housing development, or I have an issue in this neighborhood, or back to where you and I know each other, in this workplace. I wonder if anybody else is as ticked off about this factory as I am. How would I find them? Well, on Uber, you pull it up on your phone, you find out there are 5 Uber drivers near you and how long it would take. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had over the last month about why isn't this possible?
So that is exactly what we have developed, and that is the technology that we are in the process, even more robust version. So example would be, you're a job steward, on the third shift of a local manufacturing or in a nursing home or hospital, whatever it may be, and you've got that app, and you can see eyes on who you're working with. You can see the folks that are there. You can see if that information is correct, if it's not, if somebody is a member, if they're not. You can snap a picture just like you snap that picture of your credit card to get your Uber account set up. You can do exactly the same thing.
That would be my daughter who got on Uber that way. Me who she held by my hand to get on. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Now wait, I would say we're about the same age here, but this technology that we're describing, which is the ability to give activists on the ground the functionality to be able to run their organizations or parts of their organizations, so that you are empowering those folks in essence to be the organizers that really they're capable of being, and then you can give them actions to do. So that in fact, if you're leading the organization or you've got a committee and you're saying that these are the kinds of actions that we want to do, those can go out to your folks on the ground. They can do those actions, whatever it may be. It could be a block party, it could be an event on the third shift, it could be whatever you're organizing, and that information and all of that data then flows up into the organization. And so you have a seamless information flow up and back, and that is what we are in the process in the next kind of like addition of the tool set as we go forward. And we're fully underway with that. The current tool sets that are out there, Nation Builder and others, they're more of a one-to-many form of communication, and they don't nearly provide the robustness that we need as a movement, but we're fully underway.
We have to be able to scale. I mean, that's what we're finding more and more. What was exciting about reading the Exley and Bond book is their argument that they were able to connect with such a huge number of volunteers, get them to do tasks, have them be able to manage the task with essentially telephonic or email support. I mean, converting that, if we could adapt that to community or labor organizing, that solves the problem. We'll never have enough organizers, as you and I know, and our resources are getting smaller, not larger, as the population we're trying to organize is getting larger, not smaller. I mean,
Right. We can't take it to scale. How we use organizers and the kinds of labor campaigns that we do, sending people out in their cars to try to door knock on whatever, it's a misuse of resources and providing the kind of technology that we're talking about here, which is currently well underway. We never could have taken the Women's March, Standing Rock, others that we're now taking to scale if it wasn't for the technology currently underway. And that will only get better over time. And, today or yesterday, the Huffington Post did a story of that this is the secret weapon. The Action Network is the secret weapon of progressives. And we're very proud of that. So
yeah, we're not whispering on this show. This is 100,000 watts, power to the people. So we want this secret to be known by everybody who wants to do something to change this country. And these days, it's needed. And that means if the Huffington Post says you're the secret weapon, here comes the brickbats are going to be swinging towards you too, huh?
Yeah, well, we have begun to see. I'll tell you, somebody for the Women's March hacks into the system. Very easy to do. We're open. So they create a false event in California. A few hundred women, I think it was 600 women, show up to the event and realize that that no one has set it up. And lo and behold, they had a march, they had a rally, they took off, they organized themselves, and that was creating power. So I thought it's an interesting story. So sure, are we drawing fire? Yes. Today they were in the Daily Caller. It was somehow we were connected to George Soros, that we were just part of the Grass Tops elite, a program. And just so everyone knows, that'd be terrific. We'd love to get some donations in. We don't get any donations. All of our support has come from users and people who participate in the Action Network. But yeah, we expect that we'll draw fire, and we're drawing fire because we're successful. So, bring it on.
Well, and the one thing we learned in the labor movement is if you can't take a punch, you can't show up for work any day of the week. But Fox News and the alt-right and the Breitbarts, they are so obsessed with Soros. I can still remember some years ago when Fox was, trying to talk to me about the Glenn Beck show and whatever. They just don't want to believe that none of us have ever met George Soros. And why would we? Mark, why? This is like Billionaireville. We're down here on, today we're in New Orleans. This show's in, a station in Arkansas. This is not where the Trumps and Soroses and everybody else is in their alternate reality.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Now, we'd like to encourage some of our rich liberal friends to make donations.
I'm going to let you leave an address at the end of this show. Absolutely. We don't want to stop anybody from supporting. In fact, yeah. We'd like to get some more of these, because the way these tools that you're describing are being used for mobilizations, you can just feel that we're knocking on the door to being able to use them for deep organizing. And that has been the holy grail that some of us have spent our lives trying to do. And we keep getting there, but to get there is so intensive that I know there are no shortcuts, but if we can at least, sand off some of the rough edges, it would make a difference.
No, we're sanding them off now. So the tools that we have now in motion begin that process. We are in the development stage. We do all of our development. This is us doing it. We develop it. We code it. We do the front-end design. We do this in partnership with folks, so this isn't something that we develop and try to, get out there and kind of sell. This is us working with all of our partners. Those are labor unions, organizations, the Women's March, Standing Rock, and others, and we learn from those experiences, and by doing that, we develop a product that is a real, is a real assist to the work that we do every day.
Well, it's exciting that y'all are trying to get this, I don't know what they call it, a geo-affinity tool or whatever. There's all these fancy names for some of these things like Uber and Kinder or Tinder or whatever it is. But I talked to a program at University of California, Santa Cruz on Monday night. They have a special program there, Everett program, which develops digital tools for social change organizations. And I'm up here, barking at it, please, can't you, here's my list of five things. And this was right at the top. And you know, I could pretty much tell they didn't really have the chops to be able to do that. But, you know, it is something we think about. And internationally, we're working on in Cameroon, where there's a voter registration system just like we used to have in the late 60s, early 70s here, where, yes, you can get registered. Obviously, it's an autocratic dictatorship. You can get registered, but you have to get to that location to be registered. Now, they'll come out to a certain degree because they have to keep their jobs, so there's a quota they have to meet. But how can, in a less developed country, can you put those two things together, where their registers are, that you could get an advanced thing? And is there a text way or a smartphone? You know what I'm saying.
There's absolutely
a lot of tools.
And we are, it's a good, we are moving internationally. So if you look at the Women's March, you'll see, you know, many of the events were, you know, in throughout the world.
Sure, London, Paris,
all over, small cities, big cities.
Yeah.
That was all done on the Action Network. We've now moved into multi-languages. We're now up to 6 languages. We'll be moving across.
French, Spanish.
Spanish, Portuguese, languages I'm not even sure, right, into German. But we'll be having a full language complement. And for obvious reasons, this is a worldwide movement.
Absolutely.
Of ours, and we are very focused on that. We're having conversations. Again, we're not a we're a very small organization. As I said to you, we have no offices. We keep it small. We got no investors. Don't want any. And what we want is that we want folks that are hearing this broadcast, you know, go to the Action Network, which you'll see, .org. Take a look at the tools. You'll see what they are. There's no fancy kind of website. We have demonstrations of the tools. If you don't know how to operate them, every Tuesday at 1 p.m. East Coast, we'll jump right on the phone. We'll walk you through the tools and how to use them, ask whatever questions.
Now, are these mobile phone apps, computers, desktops, what are we?
All around. I mean, you can use it pretty much, you know, pretty much wherever it finds. You know, the next edition of tools that we're coming at will probably be making more mobile friendly. But yeah, I'd say these are all tools that can be navigated right from your smartphone. The Action Network Facebook page, and we've got our own too. We just started off. We're now up to 4,000 likes and moving right along. People are sharing the tools, and we would ask our community.
This is Facebook blankety blank 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 page. Right, I got you.
That's great. Action Network Facebook page. But look, we're looking to share the story. You know, this is not this is not a business. So people, if you see what you like, then we want folks to share the gospel, share the message, get the tools out there, and then we build. And as we build, we put more development into increasing the robustness of the tools, bring the tools right down to activists, and then we change the world, folks. We've got smart organizers, just like the gentleman across that I'm talking to here, Wade, and others, and all of you across, you know, from communities large and small. We use this technology, and we make a difference.
Well, and that's the advantage of your partnerships, it sounds like, is they have demands, you try to meet them. So with that number of partners, you're going to have good ideas going back and forth. We've been talking to Mark Fleischman for the last half hour on Wade's World, and he's the president of actionnetwork.org. I'm going to ask him again to tell you how you can get in touch with he and his people if you're interested in seeing for your organization or your mobilization or your cause or just a way to do something with neighbors, friends, coworkers. Mark, how can they get a hold of the tools that you've talked about building?
So just plug in the Action Network, and it will pop right up there. Just click that right on there. You'll see the tool set will pop right up. No fancy kind of marketing or anything else. You'll see the tools that I describe, an email or donation page, petitions, letter to the editor, variety of other things that are possible. And even if you have no experience, we have developed these tools for old folks like me, you know, where it's a one-to-one interface so that they're easy to use. So when you are developing and you're putting your first-time petition together, you simply can do it with no complexity and with very minimal training. If you need some training, every week, Tuesday at 1 p.m., we do a demonstration of the tool set. Just jump on and
It's Tuesday, 12 o'clock Central Time, 1 p.m. East Coast.
That's right.
You know, one of the things that Becky recommended in her book is we all go to one time zone. You know, given that I'm working more internationally, I thought, ooh, I like that. Okay, so that's actionnetwork.org. Mark Fleischman, president of it, he's told you about it. Get on it. This has been Wage World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. We say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, when we'll have a guest who's going to talk about a way that we can rank insurance companies and rate them, and it's going to be in Arkansas as one of its pilots, and you know what insurance companies are like. We better take a look at this. This has been Wade Brathke from WageWorld, KABF.org. See you next week.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.